Scripture reading for today is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. Mark 14, 32 through 42. This happens the night before Jesus is crucified on Good Friday. This that we're about to read in the Scripture takes place during that Thursday evening when the disciples were together in the upper room, and when then they move out of the upper room, and here's what happens. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, and yet not what I will, but what you will." And then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away, prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." This is the word of God for the people of God. Okay, well, today's the big day, isn't it? Big game day, Bengals in the Super Bowl. If I remember this article I read clearly, television sales in Cincinnati and in LA are going through the roof. Everybody wants to watch the game on television. You know what would be bad is if at 6:30 your TV went on the blink. You know, what would happen if you made all these arrangements to have some fun, maybe even have some people over, and all of a sudden, nothing's working on the TV, something's wrong with the TV, there's no picture. And not just on NBC, I think that's showing the game, but on every channel, nothing is working. What would you do? What would you do? Now, if you're old school, like me, you probably just go up to the television set and start banging on it. What's wrong with you? Or maybe, you know, you start adjusting the rabbit ears. You know what those are, don't you, the rabbit ears? I was in a Best Buy, and I walked up and asked this young man who was an associate there at Best Buy, I said, "Do you have rabbit ears?" Right, and he paused for a minute, and I think he was offended at first. I said, "You know, TV antenna." And they said, "Oh yeah, we have some of those over here." Maybe if your TV went on the blink, you'd start to play with the remote. Press the menu button, the settings button, turn it on, turn it off, press all the buttons there are. You know, some of the remotes today, you can talk into them, you can speak into them. What's wrong with you? And then it takes you to an HBO movie. You know, what's wrong with you? Maybe you'd push the reset on the cable box. Something wrong with your TV, you'd pretend to be the repairman. Okay, I'm going to make sure all of the connections are just right, all the plugs are plugged in. Maybe I'll unplug it for 45 seconds. Okay, we'll wait. All right, now plug it back in, turn it back on. Something wrong with the TV, still not working. So you call the 1-800 support helpline, and when you finally get a hold of somebody, They tell you to do the things you've just been doing for the last half an hour, and still nothing works. And so they're willing to make an appointment with the service tech to come out to your house in about 8 days and charge you $115. Yeah. Something's wrong with the TV. And we normally naturally wonder, what's going on? Is TV broken? Something the matter with my reception? Something the matter with my cable box, my satellite dish? What's the problem? Here's what we never think. We never think, oh, all of the networks, they just stopped broadcasting at the same time. Nobody's sending out a signal anymore. We never think that. Do you ever think that? We'd never think that it's something on the sender end. We always think it's something on our end. We never suspect the system. We never doubt that TV stations are continually sending out their signal. If something's wrong with the TV, we think it's on our end, and that's accurate. It never happens the other way, that the TV stations stop sending their signal, all of them, at the same time. That never happens. And so it's right to think that there's some kind of operator error, something on our end, something wrong with the electronics of our television or our receiver or our box, or some technical malfunction, some satellite is out of order, somebody cut a cable somewhere. The system is fine, the networks are in business, our television and what it's connected to. Something's gone awry there. We have some issue with reception. And when we think that, that just makes some sense. My question this morning is, why don't we apply the same common sense when it comes to thinking about prayer? When it comes to our connection to God in prayer, we get on our knees, we fold our hands, we bow our heads, we say all the right religious words, we push all the right prayer buttons, and nothing. A blank screen. No answers. And when we pray and we get a blank screen, why do we assume it's on God's end? We're suddenly sending out signals and then thinking that, well, God must have stopped listening. Do we ever think, maybe it's on our end? Maybe the operator error on our end is affecting the whole prayer system? Because we can affirm today, and let's just do this, we can affirm today that the prayer system that God has set up is working just fine. Prayer is one of God's amazing gifts to us, and it's working just fine. He's not gone out of business. He's not gone out of orbit. He's designed prayer for our benefit. And even if our prayer seems to go unanswered, God is still listening. In fact, that's the most amazing thing about prayer, is that God listens to us every time, everywhere, every prayer. God hears. I am with you always, is his promise to us. I will never leave you. He will always hear our prayers. Even when prayer seems to go no farther than maybe the ceiling. You know, sometimes that's an old saying, that my prayers are hitting the ceiling and they're not going any farther than that. Even at that time, even in those times, God still is listening. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. The Bible says God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us all along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. It's the Message translation of Romans 8:27. So if there's a problem with prayer, it's not on God's end, it's on our end, because we fail to tune in like we should. And when that happens, the spiritual results we get are kind of like a blank television screen. And we can feel that, can't we? We can sense that sometimes. So the question is, what causes that? If we know what causes it, then maybe we can do something about fixing it on our end. In our scripture in Mark chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples to pray. Watch and pray. He expected them to keep awake. He expected their eyes to stay open. Then he, after he spent some time in prayer, he went back to them and found them with their eyes closed, found them asleep. And not just one time, and not just twice, but three times, Jesus, after telling his disciples to stay awake, watch, pray, he finds them asleep. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Stay awake and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh or the body is weak. So what are those obstacles to prayer on our end that keep us from staying awake when it comes to prayer? And by staying awake, I mean spiritually staying in tune with God. Before we get there, let's remember some things about prayer. And mainly, let's just first confess that prayer is hard. Turn to your neighbor. Just remind them. Just say to them, prayer is hard. Just say that to them. Just whoever's right near you, you know, prayer is hard. All honest, genuine communication is hard. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is genuine, it's honest communication with God. And it's very difficult. It's not, you know, prayer is not some, let's just make a lordy to-do list and let's send it to heaven. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is sitting in the presence of the Master and having a conversation with him. Sitting in the lap of the Father and listening to what he has to say to us. And that can be very difficult. You know, God already knows when we pray, that beautiful passage from Romans 8:27, the Spirit kind of intercedes along the lines of our prayers for us. He's all-knowing, he's everywhere all the time. Dear God, you may not know this, but Aunt Alice is in the hospital and she needs your help. Wait, God already knows that. What God doesn't know is whether you care enough about Aunt Alice to talk to him about her. God, please grant the leaders of our country wisdom to make the right decisions. He knows they're going to be making decisions. He knows they need help. What he doesn't know is whether we care enough about our leaders making wise decisions to talk to him about it. Dear God, the church needs your presence and your power to do its work on earth. Well, there's nobody who knows that any better than God. He set it up that way. He just wants to know if we care enough to talk to him about the church. That's what prayer is about, and that's one of the things that makes it so difficult, is that it's just having that open, genuine, honest conversation with God. So the question then becomes, what keeps us from those genuine, honest conversations? What makes them hard? And What can we do to overcome those obstacles? And there's basically four that are kind of highlighted in this passage that we read from Mark chapter 14. Now, before I talk about these four obstacles to prayer, I want us to understand this disclaimer about prayer. There's no magic formula to making your prayers something that is going to be a reality. There's no abracadabra formula for guaranteeing that all your prayers will be answered just the way you expect them to be. God he's listening, there's no doubt about that, but how he responds to what he hears from me and from you is up to him. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And so God may hear our prayer, and he may say, yes, sure, let's do that. Let's get that done. But it's just as easy that God hears our same prayer and says, no, I don't think so. Or he says, maybe. Or he says, not yet. And I think this is the prayer, this is the answer to prayer that maybe we discover the most. And that is when God says, wait. Just wait. Doesn't give us a yes or a no. He just says, wait. It's kind of like something that happens on your computer or on your phone and you get that spinning circle. You know, nobody likes that. Why don't we like it? Because we have to wait. And maybe we only have to wait 2 or 3 seconds, but we still don't like it because we have to wait 2 or 3 seconds. Sometimes it spins forever and then maybe we have a problem. There are some adjustments that we can make to staying in tune, to not fall asleep when the answer to our prayer just seems to be that spinning circle. Here's the first one. The first adjustment that we can make is to understand that prayer is a spiritual battleground. It's a place where good and evil are waging war. Your prayer is part of the spiritual battleground that's happening between good and evil. It's important for us to understand that we engage in that battle on a regular basis. And prayer is one of those, if you want to call it this, one of those weapons, one of those pieces of equipment that spiritually that God has given us to engage in that battle. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. That's part of our human nature, our carnal or fallen nature. And the good things that we want to do when the Spirit has His way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires. Those two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us. And our wishes, our prayers, our desires are never free from those pressures. That's why Jesus told the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, the physical side of us, that fallen side of us, that carnal side of us, that's weak. And that's something we have to recognize when we're dealing with this honest, genuine, hard conversation called prayer that we have with God. It's one of those battle areas where the forces of light and the forces of darkness come together. And we have to simply fight through that battle. It's a temptation, it's a trick of the devil not to pray. That he uses that wait time, he uses that spinning circle to hypnotize us, to paralyze us, so we won't be on our knees, so we won't be in the battle praying. John Wesley once said this, and this is hyperbole. This is something that he said just to kind of make a point, but he said, God does nothing except in response to prayer. In other words, what he's trying to say is there are just some things that need prayer. Some things won't be accomplished unless the church is on its knees in prayer. There's some battles spiritually fought on that spiritual battleground that won't be won unless we're praying. And so to overcome the obstacle of prayer, we have to adopt that attitude that this is a fight that we're in. And one of the tools, one of the pieces of equipment, one of the weapons that we have to win that spiritual battle is prayer. A second obstacle to prayer is this lack of concentration. So to overcome that obstacle, we have to focus. We have to concentrate. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. This is a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father. Stay awake, is what he told the disciples. Concentrate. Focus. It's kind of like, you know, hand-eye coordination. You have to, you know, be in sync together for things to work well. If you've ever tried to teach a little child how to catch a ball, you know, here you go. And then it hits him in the forehead. No, watch the ball. Eye-hand coordination. And that, you know, that's part of prayer too. We have to have our spiritual eye focused. Because when we juggle a lot of balls, either in our personal life or in ministry, the church, if we're not paying attention, if we're not focused, those things are going to hit us in the head, are going to fall on the ground. It's not going to work very well. Prayer requires concentration. A disturbing trend to me on the golf course, I don't know if you don't play golf, this may not mean anything to you, but more and more and more people are playing music from their phones while they're playing on the golf course. And I guess I don't have that much of a problem with it if they keep the level down so that only they in their cart can hear it. But most often it's blaring, and it's affecting, you know, five or six groups that are all around there. One of the main tenets of golf etiquette is that you're quiet while other people are playing. If you've ever watched golf on television and you see a professional golfer address the ball and he's getting ready to hit, all of a sudden he backs away and he looks into the crowd because somebody is making a bunch of noise. If you've ever noticed the ushers, the people who are helping out in golf tournaments, when a player's getting ready to hit the ball, they'll hold up their hands and say, shh, 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 be quiet. That's a main tenet of golf etiquette, is that you're quiet when other people are getting ready to play. So they can concentrate. Golf takes a lot of concentration to do it well. And God understands that about prayer, and that's why Jesus is saying to his disciples, open your eyes. Keep them open. Stay awake. Focus. Concentrate. He goes back to them three times. Wait, you couldn't stay awake just for an hour and watch with me, pray for me? It's a spiritual battleground, and it requires focus. It requires concentration. And thirdly, it takes time. Something else that requires our investment of time in life. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, at that time, Jesus went up a hill to pray and spent the whole night there praying to God. It requires time. Wouldn't have been such a big deal to the disciples as far as their staying awake if Jesus went off by himself to pray and 5 minutes later he came back and said, okay, let's go. No, but he was gone for an hour. And he came back an hour later and found them sleeping. Listen, it requires some investment of our time to pray. We have to be intentional. I mean, we find time in our life for the priorities. We're not too busy to find room in our schedules for the things that we really want to do. And so prayer is one of those things that we need to be motivated to really want to do, to really have this conversation with God, to let Him know what's on my heart, to let Him know how I'm feeling, to let Him know I really care about Aunt Alice. I really care about our nation. I really care about our church. And I have to be intentional about making some time to let God know about that. It's a great passage in the scriptures, only a very short verse. Pray unceasingly. Pray constantly. Don't give up on prayer. Make every breath a prayer. It's that kind of mindset, it's that kind of thinking that helps us overcome the obstacles there are to prayer. Prayer is a spiritual battleground. It requires focus and concentration. It takes time. And finally, prayer changes me. Sometimes our motivation is we pray because we know it may change something, some situation, somebody else. But really the most amazing thing about prayer is it changes me. Why did Jesus go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray the night before He was crucified? Did you hear the kernel of His prayer? We get a little picture of it. When He goes to the Father and He says, I know, Father, all things are possible for You. And if it's possible, please, take this cup of suffering from me. Did you hear that? The human side of Him not wanting to face not only just the horrible physical experience of the crucifixion, but the spiritual weight that was on His shoulders. He told the disciples, my soul is burdened. The spiritual weight of taking the world's sins upon Himself was just horrible. He could sense that. If it's possible, please, Father, take this cup of suffering from me. But not my will. Not what I want. Change me, Lord. Change me, Father. What Your will is, let that be done. Amazing power that prayer has to shape us. To shape us. When we come to prayer loaded with problems, most of which only God can resolve, that's an obstacle. When we leave prayer ready to accept God's will and surrender to whatever His plan is, that changes us. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 and following. The Bible says, and this is the Message translation, one day I walked by the field of an old lazy bones, and then I passed a vineyard, and they were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles. All the fences were broken down. I took a long look and pondered what I saw. The fields preached me a sermon and I listened. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest. Maybe that's the original no pain, no gain verse. I don't know. But spiritually, this is speaking, of course, about a person's life. You don't work, don't expect to get anything. out of life if you're not going to work for it, if you're not going to put in the energy and the effort required to feed yourself or feed your family, listen, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be thirsty. But the same thing holds spiritually. That same truth is true spiritually. If we don't do the work necessary to overcome the obstacles that we have on our end that keep us from that honest, genuine conversation with God in prayer, then our spiritual life, our faith, is going to suffer. Again, the most miraculous thing about prayer is that God listens to us. He listens to me. He listens to you. Why in the world would he ever do that? Why would he even pay attention to anything we have to say or think? But he does. Because he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And part of the way he demonstrates that love is by hearing our prayers. Now, if it seems like our prayers go unanswered, the message today is stay awake. Don't snooze. Stay awake. Keep your eyes open. Stay faithful in prayer. Keep at it. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Once again, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that the truth that we hear from you is able to shape us, able to change us. And so this morning we pray that what we've heard from you today about prayer will shape our conversation with you. We pray that the conversations that we have with you will mold our lives, change us, help us to be more intentional about our prayer life. Help us to understand what an intense spiritual battleground our life is as a faithful follower of Jesus. Help us to understand that we have responsibility in our conversation with you to lift up others in the problems of this world. You've put that square on our shoulders. But not in a checklist or a wish list of things that we hope happen, but instead in a faithful, genuine way of being who we are in your presence, of letting you know what's important to us and what we care about and what we're worried about and what we're fearful of. This morning, Lord, we make a new and a fresh commitment to being surrendered in prayer, just like Jesus got to that point in the garden. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, we make a new and a fresh commitment to that very attitude in our prayers. Again, we offer who we are. We offer our hearts, our thoughts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.